Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. I didn't know you still did this show. Shane, how you been?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, we have missed you, buddy. It's springtime.
Yes.
I think Shane is busy on the golf course.
Yes.
So that's great to see. We want to encourage his golfdom here. He's getting ready for the SEC tournament. He'll be up here before you know it. How's everything on your end, man?
Well, looks like I got in a little bar fight there. You know, got to fight on the golf course. No, I'm just kidding. Apparently, Oats and Honey from Kind has cinnamon in it, and doubled down before I realized that. You know, I had one last night, and I had a little bit of a reaction, not too bad. And on my way, way back to the house, I had another bar, and then my eyes started swelling up, and I said, honey, does that got cinnamon in it? And she goes, yeah, it's like the third ingredient. So it's on me. It's on me. I should have read the damn thing. But other than that, man, like you said, it's been absolutely beautiful outside. Spring is in the air. I hope it's not one of those fake fall. You know, they call them those fake springs where you get hit and then all of a sudden it's another 2 weeks of 30 degrees.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's here, man, because you know what that means, Mike, when it starts warming up. Means we're in March Madness. That means we've got college football right around the corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is my favorite time right here. We're getting into it, man. Out of winter.
Yes, sir. So, hey, good news for you, Shane. There is no cinnamon in hot chicken. So I'm just getting you prepped for that. But, yeah, so we'll be all over Nashville for the rest of the week. Got in-studio interviews starting tomorrow. So, this is actually going to be probably the last live show of the week. Who knows? But maybe we'll try to do something from the studio. No guarantees on that. But, hey, how about this, Shane? Let's just get right into the action because we got a lot to cover. And speaking of spring in the air, football right around the corner, I wanted to start with this. This happened like a week ago, but we haven't been on with you since then. Auburn, how about it, buddy? They've moved up the opener. Oh, baby. SEC football on a Friday? That's what we're getting with, and this is not, you know, usually when they do this, no offense to like Missouri versus, Buffalo or whoever the hell they open with, Arkansas versus peanut butter. It's a real damn game right here, Shane. Auburn at Baylor, and I love it for Auburn. They're going to get a national spotlight for this game, and maybe they're ranked if they can go on the road and beat Baylor. I also like it, Shane, if you're an Auburn hater. I mean, we're all going to overreact, fire this guy, fire that one, you know, if they somehow lose this game. So if you love Auburn, this is a win. If you hate Auburn, this is a win. The sooner they can get us SEC football, the better for me.
Yeah, yeah, and I'd love this, Mike. You know, I'm a huge fan of late August football. You know, we saw this a couple of years with Vanderbilt going out to Hawaii and then, you know, doing a home and home thing. And it was fun to watch because it made us, it just fired up the juices. You know, it's like we couldn't wait for college football to get here. But what I love about this matchup, Mike, is what you said. It could be a matchup. You know, there's a couple of games week one that I feel like there's some pressure at certain universities. This one, I would venture to say, is a top four kind of pressure game. Because it's the launch pad for huge Hugh Freeze either being a success or a failure down there on the plains.
Yeah, and I want to double check because when the early lines came out, Shane, Baylor was instituted. Oh, and they still are. Oh, no. Excuse me, it's flipped. Baylor opened as a favorite. Now it's Auburn favored by 1.5 points. So very close to a pick 'em. Ball game. So this is going to be narratives. Dave Aranda, of course, still the Baylor coach. They haven't fired him yet. As soon as they do, he's going to be back in the SEC as an elite defensive coordinator. But hey, you know who is also elite, Shane? Well, you already know. Everybody already knows.
Come on, JR. Where you at?
What a legend. This time he has gifted a membership, Shane, to Travis 772. So Travis, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of the legend JR. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Gus.
He's gonna be happy if Auburn loses on Friday night, I'll tell you that.
I bet he would. I hope he's up in Nashville again, Mike. Just to plug it, we're going to be down there. I look forward to seeing everybody. If you see a hot chicken sign, odds are Cousin Shade's probably in there. So pop, yep, holler at us, have a cold beer, eat some chicken. It's going to be awesome.
All right. So next. Oh, buddy. Debate. That's what all the offseason is, right? Debating. We got all kinds of clips and all this stuff. But and shout out. I got a lot of respect for this guy, Shane. I think he does a hell of a job. I've read all his books. I listen to his podcast. He's been doing it for forever and ever and ever with Bruce Feldman. A guy by the name of Stuart Mandel over at The Athletic. I've been following him for years, right?
Yeah.
Finally got him to engage with me online. And not that I was like trying to get him to get it, engagement with me, but he put out his list of top 25 head coaches in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he says in his article, this is not like a career achievement award. He tends to lean towards the last 3 to 5 years. That's exactly what he says. Mm-hmm. For who is the top 25 coaches in the country. And some guys that made the list, Shane. Jamie Chadwell. Do you even know where he... Take a guess, Shane. Where's Jamie Chadwell the head coach of?
Wasn't he some Carolina? Coastal Carolina?
He was. Now he's at Liberty. Same thing, okay. Right?
So he still got the... is it the sleeve one? No, I'm joking.
he's the one that every time there's an SEC opening, he's begging to get it. And no one will give him I think Mississippi State may have interviewed him. That's as far as he's gotten into the SEC. He's dying for the Tennessee job. How about Jeff Munkin? Do you have any idea where he coaches?
Munkin. No. No idea.
I believe Army. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, right. I mean, they're good. They're good. I'm not saying they're bad or anything. But and then Willie Fritz. Any idea where he's the head coach of?
Willie Fritz? No. No. Sounds like a guy that owes me money.
I believe he's at Houston. Again, I'm not saying he's an awful coach.
Yeah. No,
I believe he was at Tulane before, and Tulane's been very good. He was head coach when they beat Southern Cal. Of course, unless you're LSU, Southern Cal's not that difficult. But point being, those guys made the list. And again, we could bicker with those guys are great, yada, yada, yada. You know who didn't make the list, Shane?
Who?
Oh, you're going to be pissed. And this is what I got old Stewart's ass about. Come on, Drake. Not top 25. I'm a man that's won 21 games. In the last coach to beat Ohio State in a bowl game, last time I checked, Shane, is old Eli Drinkwitz. Not top 25. That's pretty weird. And then here's another one. Shane Beamer, come on. And he said, well, my God, Beamer's 29-22. Well, you know that's a better record than Shane after 4 years at South Carolina?
Who?
Steve Spurrier, one of the greatest coaches of all time. Beamer's got a better record than him, and I think the SEC's harder now. So, and then the other one I took except you, I'm fine not having this guy as a top 25 right now. I don't know if he's, I don't know if he's fully cemented himself, but heading into November, you'd say this guy may be top 10. I give it to Elko. I think at Duke, 9-4, 7-5, his quarterback lost for most of that season. And same quarterback just took damn Notre Dame to national championship. And again, I realize they fell flat on their face, but to say he's not a top 25 coach, I guarantee you A&M will not trade Mike Elko for, every single
Willie
coach
Fritz
on that list. Yeah, exactly. Come on. I mean, that's crazy. Am I wrong on any of these?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And it's funny because you have the success of Shane Beamer and Drink at another conference. Then all of a sudden you put him at the top of the list. It's just sometimes you get lost with how talented, the coaching pool is here in the SEC and the Big Ten. So, I think this list season, man.
Yeah.
And Stuart Little's got to get his. So let's let him have it. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the clicks. I've been there. I've done some clickbait stuff before. So let him have it. But no, this list is not good. Not good at all.
He got me pretty good. I'll give him that. He said, there are good coaches outside the SEC. So with the SEC, that's a good troll. That's a solid, that's a B-plus troll, I think.
Yeah, I'll give him that. That was good. So he's not going to be in studio this weekend. Is that what you're saying?
No, if he's in town, I'd love to have him. But no, I don't think he would.
Oh, shit.
All right, how about this, Shane? So now with Nick Saban gone, whenever Nick Saban spoke, everybody listened. He was the master, yada, yada, yada. And I'm not saying Kirby Smart is exactly on his level, although Georgia fans would say, oh, Alabama, what have they won without Kirby, you know, excluding COVID year? Well, that's kind of, even Jimbo looked like he'd coach during COVID. But again, you could say that too. But point being, when Kirby speaks, everybody listens, right?
Yeah.
He's the dean of the SEC, even though Stoops technically is, but who cares? So we got a lot from old Kirby. He was on one today. Georgia opened spring practice this week, Shane.
Yeah.
And he was asked, because, you know, I don't know if you saw it, but Paul Feinbaum said, oh, that Mike Bobo, there's a better offensive coordinator down the street at Georgia Tech. Here's old Kirby defending his coaching staff.
Coach, you kind of touched on this just a little bit ago. You know, you mentioned when things go wrong, people are always looking for somebody to blame. And I guess to that extent, after the season, Coach Bobo and Coach Searles both have been talked about a lot. I guess Paul Feinbaum had what he had to say about Mike. And I guess just what have you thought about, I mean, what do you think about when people say things like that about your coaches and just a job you think they're doing as a whole for you right now?
Yeah, I'm honest with you, I don't get into it much. I worked in a place for 10 years before I came here, and it's my 10th spring, so that's 20 years that, you know, I really don't pay much attention to anything outside. I got a lot of confidence in this organization, the foundation we've built. I've got the best staff in the country, and I have no doubt about that. I've got one of the most experienced SEC staffs there is, and to be honest with you, there's a lot of confidence in that, and I have a lot of confidence in it.
So how about it, Shane? Do you think that Georgia's got the best staff with Mike Bobo as their offensive coordinator, which, well, I think everybody in the fan base wants his ass gone.
Yeah.
They hate the offensive line coach. Couldn't run the ball last year. And they look over there, Matt Luke. I know he's another conference. He's at Clemson. Shane, he's doing a hell of a job rebuilding the Clemson offensive line. So I don't know. Do you agree with old Kirby that he's got the best staff in the country?
Well, I agree. This is the take you got to have, you know. I mean, when you're talking assistants and, you know, coaches from top to bottom, are they ranked? I would venture to say Georgia's in the top 20 in the country, you 20? Know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You don't think so?
You hate Georgia. I would say top 5. I wouldn't go all the way down to top 20.
No, I'm just saying. But again, what is a good staff, you know?
Yeah.
So I think we're talking top to bottom, and Kirby ultimately being the kind of the one that's pulling this wagon, if you will. So I don't know, man. People are always going to blame Mike Bobo with the failures,
yeah,
but the success when it comes to, it's like Kirby's in a spot where he gets all the success is on him, but all the failures on Mike Bobo. So it's a tough spot for him, but I like Coach coming out here and saying, hey, keep my boy's name out of your damn mouth. You know, this is what you got to say.
Yeah, you're right. It's a perfect spot for Kirby. It's a bad spot for old Bobo. And I think Cousin Zach nailed it. One of the best defensive staffs down at Georgia, but offensive, not even close. I think that is a fair assessment of the situation down in that. I just think it's funny.
You think Georgia's staff is top 5 in the country? I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just curious if you think it's truly that, because I felt like,
well, it all starts with Kirby, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, do we count him as the set? Because I think he's the best head coach by a country mile,
right?
Defensive coordinator Glenn Schumann's turned down NFL. He's turned over, you know,
right,
Florida State, on and on. I mean, many people have come after Glenn. He's going to be a head coach pretty soon. Do we count Will Muschamp? I mean, he's just an analyst. I mean, when Will Muschamp, 2-time SEC head coach, as an analyst,
yeah,
got pretty damn good staff. I mean, they've got a hell of a lot of good coaches down there, but, and I even think Mike Bobo, he's probably not popular, but like a top 15 offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Okay.
But
yeah,
they could do better. I agree with Paul with that. They could do better, but he's not like, people think he's like top 5 worst. You know, it's,
yeah, yeah.
I think that is not even close to accurate.
I think you are if you're a Georgia fan and things aren't going your way. You know, it's like that's the immediate button, like you saved in your like folder. But I was just curious your thoughts. But yeah, I think Kirby's got a pretty good staff, and that's what ultimately I think makes you a great coach. It's not just the players and teams that you have, but you know, you think of Nick Saban's. How many times do we talk about the people that was under him and how many assistants couldn't beat him, that sort of thing. It's not, it's a matter of time before they start doing this with Kirby Smart, I believe. So, right. Yeah, I it's a revolving door down there because there are going to be opportunities for these coaches on that staff.
And then he had another really interesting one, Shane, is not just Georgia, but he was asked about the schedule and he said, "Hey buddy, this difficult schedule is here to stay. You know, they've got Clemson on the schedule a bunch. Oh. Obviously they play Georgia Tech every year and it looks to be moving to a 9-game SEC slate." I thought this was pretty interesting. Comments from old Kirby on how tough the schedule is down there in Athens.
Kirby, when you talked about the self-assessment of last year and you talked about who you played, obviously last year's schedule was hard, but it also might be the new normal going yes. forward with the SEC. So is there kind of a sense of a balance between it's not going to be dominance like some of your previous years, but also that there were some things last year that you needed to be better at despite the schedule?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit it dead on. I think the mature view of this and the 10,000 feet view of this is we're in a different climate than we were previously. We're in a different scheduling model than we were previously. The addition of Clemson on top of the people into our league, on top of the schedule that we had, I don't make any excuses about it. It's going to be really hard. I mean, we repeat that schedule next year with the exception of the Clemson out of conference game. So it's not going to get any easier. The norm is it's going to be challenging for everybody. I mean, the 2, 3, 4 power, the autonomy 5 power conferences, you're going to play better and more competition, which is going to make things more challenging. And I don't run or shy from that. I think that is very true that it's going to be, there may be an outlier. There may be a team out there that has the right mix and does it exactly right. But you're going to see teams that we thought going into last year that we would have to deal with more adversity, more failures, and how we dealt with them would indicate our year. And I was very pleased with how we responded to losses to keep ourselves afloat and to win the SEC championship. So that's not going to change over years to come.
So I think that's an interesting point. If you kind of read between the lines there, Shane, where we may be done, and we've said this, we may be done with undefeated seasons. And, you know, you got to navigate how you respond to losses. You know, the best example in this new format is the whole point there is yeah. Ohio State getting humiliated once again by Michigan and getting up off the mat, and even Georgia losing to Ole Miss, you know, late yeah. in the year, getting up off the mat, winning the conference. I mean, I think this is the new norm that we're getting into with a tougher SEC, with adding a 9th game, and now seemingly they want everybody and their damn mother to play on championship weekend. I mean, it could get ridiculously yeah. hard. We could be looking at, I hope we don't get this bad, but we could be looking at like a 4-loss national champion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, how many 4-loss NFL Super Bowl champs are there? I feel like obviously that's where we're heading. But I do, I like the no coward way out. You know, you want to be the big bad bully in the school. Well, then you gotta confront anybody and everybody that wants a piece of you. And I like playing early. I feel like it is kind of a temperature gauge. You saw Georgia Clemson. That Georgia won that game, but it wasn't great. And I felt like there was some questions coming out of that game. And then we watched how the season unfolds. You look at, when they beat Oregon, when they beat the shit out of Oregon, we were like, hey man, Georgia is legit. And by God, they were. So you can do that with a lot of teams. And I like these early matchups. Ones I got my eye on this year, obviously, is at Texas and Ohio State. It's like, you're trying to figure out, is Ohio State a repeat type team or is Texas, you know, back in the mix? And you know, so I feel like these early games against these tougher, what you'd call quote unquote tougher opponents, I think it's great for our league because it's a temperature gauge later in the season that we use.
Yeah. And then one more from Kirby. This ain't just the Dogs podcast, but really good stuff. I thought from Kirby, and he talks about NIL mm-hmm. and what drives you. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, Shane, but there's been some accusations of who he's referring to here. So listen to the clip. And then we'll try to figure out if there's anyone specifically he's referring to here.
Yeah, with this team and there's so much newness, what do you hope to learn about them this spring?
Yeah, I want to see the fire. I want to see the passion, the energy. I want to see who wants to be a good football player, who really cares about this game. Like, they care more about the game than they do about their NIL revenue stream. Like, if you really, really, really care about the game and you want to be good, it doesn't matter about any kind of money. It matters how I play the game. And more we're seeing across college football, the purest, the ones that care about the game the most, play the hardest. And usually the team that plays hardest wins. I know everybody thinks it's just whoever's more talented, but there's a whole lot to how hard you play and how much you care about it. So my goal is to find out how hard do you want to play? How much do you really want to be great? Because if you do, it'll show by how you practice.
Shane, who do we know with 6 Lamborghinis? I'm kidding. Again, he didn't say Carson Beck. He's not trashing any of these guys, but some people have made that accusation. Any thoughts on that?
Well, as a dad myself, Mike, these damn kids these days, like, to get them to buy into anything is almost damn near impossible. So the fact that you can get these 18, 19, 20-year-olds to kind of come together and have that fiery passion and one goal, I think it's getting harder every season just because of the way these kids are brought up. And I'm not I sound like you damn kids, but I feel like it is tougher. But the schools that do, and that's, I guess, the mystique of Georgia for the longest time was they weren't just going to beat you, they were going to beat you down. And I could tell that's kind of the attitude that Kirby wants back in that locker room. But Kirby can say all he wants. It's got to be a handful of kids that are in that locker room to kind of drive that home. You know what I'm saying? No pun intended, Carson. Circled around. You see how I did that?
Yeah, no, I see exactly what you're doing there. And again, I don't think Kirby's going out here just trashing former players or anything like that. Yeah. But some people have made that suggestion, so I thought that was interesting. But, I agree 100% with you. And then Kirby also said, you know, when it comes to spring game, he loves the spring game. His plan is to play a spring game. But he mentioned, hey, Kentucky last year, just an example, they didn't have enough linemen to play a spring game, so they said, hey, we ain't going to play one. So he says he reserves the right to kind of do something like that. So I hate that it's kind of like up in the air. I mean, I think you need to do something. And I'm sure they will for recruiting, but more importantly for the fans. You got to let them know.
Yeah.
You know, if there's an event to be held, I anticipate there would be, because Georgia's one of the deepest teams in the country. But, you know, I just wanted to make that note, because we got a lot of these coaches, Shane, each one of them. You'll play spring. Yeah. It's like, I hate that it's up in the air whether they're going to have a spring game or not. You know what?
Yeah, because like you said, this is one of those places that would get 40, 50,000 people in there, you know, and off a kind of a rebound season, there's probably going to be some fiery folks that want to see some spring action. So, yeah, I think obviously now's the time to let them know, because it's, you know, it's one thing if you do it every day, Kirby, you know, it's another if you just go to these games. This is a lot of times a planned event. Some of these folks drive 2 states over to watch a football game. So, yeah, I hope they get some news sooner than later.
Hey, shout out to Cousin JC for being honest. He says, I ain't going to lie, if they had NAL back in high school, I would have not gotten so. Read it for yourself. I don't want to out him, but he said it himself. So I just thought that was funny. All right. Hey, speaking of schedule, though, buddy, how about this one? Kentucky, they have started spring practice. And I got a Stoops clip here, but I don't have the actual one because this came from Kentucky Sports Radio. But he was asked, Shane, about playing Louisville. And if the SEC goes to 9 games, are they going to keep this Louisville game? And according to Kentucky Sports Radio, he says, hey, we want to play it, but it will be tough. Uh-oh. So what's that mean, Shane? I mean, for years and years, Kentucky and Stoops owned Louisville. Now that Louisville swung it back, and I mean, this is the common thing people say about Kentucky. They got 4 cupcakes in the non-conference. Not so much anymore because Louisville is pretty good, but they typically have 4 non-conference cupcakes that they beat up on. You just win 2 SEC games, you're in a bowl game. What's your thoughts on Stoops saying it may be tough to keep playing that game?
What Zach says here, Stoops begging for money again. We'll do it if our boosters will kick in a few mil. I feel like all jokes aside, I'm not expecting Kentucky to do anything in the spring. I would imagine the domino has already fell, you know, and you're going to see almost all of these SEC teams do as little as possible for these spring matchups, which I hate it, but I don't blame it. I don't blame Stoops for following suit. I mean, you know, it's not like he's the one ringleader anyway. So he's going to follow suit here, and hopefully the fans get something out of it.
Yeah, like Joshua says, hey, I got hammered at the spring game last year. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Do it for the fans. You know what?
Absolutely. Open up the bar. You know, you want entertainment, just let free drinks, you know?
And speaking of getting hammered, Shane, don't forget, this week, we're brought to you by Cornbread Hemp. Come on, Dad. Cornbreadhemp.com/SEC. Get you 30% off, Shane, your entire order over at Cornbread Hemp. What is this cornbread, you're asking? They got CBD sleep gummies. I love them to death. And they got the THC. If you want to party with Joshua down there at the spring game, hit you up some cornbreadhemp.com/SEC. Don't forget that promo code. That's the most important part. SEC at the checkout to get 30% off your entire order over at cornbreadhemp.com. Cannot recommend this product enough. It's a small business out of the state of Kentucky. They will hook you up just like they have hooked us up many a times with the CBD sleep gummies and the THC. Have you a good time gummies over there over at Cornbread Hemp. You know what?
That's right.
I feel like Stoops needs some cornbread head.
Yeah, he needs to calm down a little bit, you know. He's been a little bit too much on that bourbon. Needs to mix it up a little bit.
Right. So here's what he says. Man, we cannot afford to take a day off this spring. And buddy, you're getting paid enough. You ain't taking no days off here.
Plenty of springs here in Kentucky and elsewhere. What's maybe that one thing, most important thing you'd like to get across for maybe, say, a freshman, early enrollee, those 18-year-olds?
I think just, again, have them understand the demanding nature that it takes to be consistent day in and day out. You know, we cannot afford to take any snaps off, any days off. There is a lot of work to be done every day. You've heard me talk about that already this spring, but it's true. You know, and I've challenged them. I mean, the intensity has to go up. We have to be better, you know, tomorrow than we were today. And, you know, I think that's, you know, what's important for newcomers, you know, the players that have been here, the freshmen, you name it, just the intensity that it takes to attack each and every day.
You think they can do that, though, Shane, with so many new faces? They have one of the oldest rosters in the conference.
Yeah.
Thanks to a ton of transfers that have years of experience. But what do you think when Stoops says that?
I mean, you know, it'd be one thing if this is first year Stoops, but this is like 14th year Stoops. And I feel like I've heard every slogan, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all coach speak from him anymore. And I feel like this needs to be a year that you need to put up or shut up. You know what I'm saying? This needs to be a year that you possibly think outside the box, because you're going to need some things to go your way. You can afford to take a bet. You know what I'm saying? And I hope that's what's going on behind the scenes. And you are right. There's a lot of older folks in that locker room. There's a lot of new faces. And it how does it come together? It could be an absolute beautiful year for Kentucky, or it could be crash and burn. And unfortunately, they don't have a lot of time. This is a football team that gets tested early. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the wheels start falling off, you know, you're going to see this fan base jump off as well.
Yeah. And,
Louise. No, you know, geez. Oh, bourbon business is good in Lexington, says Coach Stoops.
So the AD came out recently, though, Shane, and said, hey, you know, I'm backing Stoops basically. I'm not writing him off after one down here where we go 4-8. You know, 4-8's not acceptable, but just one year of that. But a lot of Kentucky fans have pointed out, Shane, that, before that, you were 7-6, 7-6,
mm-hmm.
and they were preseason top 25 both those years. And again, I don't want to discredit this whole guy's career. I mean, he's the winningest coach in Kentucky history, and they've had Bear Bryant up there.
Right.
But again, they typically have, let's call it, three cupcakes in a non-conference in Louisville, which they beat every year from like 2016 to 2023. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where you're getting four wins every year. Is this really one year where they've taken a step back, or is this multiple years? And if your AD's saying that, Shane, I mean, it kind of seems like he's leading everyone to believe Coach Stoops is fine, or at least he's trying to convey that.
They can't afford him not to be fine. I think that's the ultimate price here. I mean, if you're the one that orchestrated the check, it's tough for me to say, you know, hey, I may have made a bad bet here. You know, no, you're going to have to double down. You made this bed, as they say, you're going to have to sleep in it. And, you know, and you're looking at Stoops' career. I feel like you've got to decide, is this, like you said, a one-hit wonder? You know, is this a season that can bounce back? I just look at the progress, or I should say lack of, the last few seasons. You know, you went from 2-7 wins, then you went to 4, which is one of the worst that you've had since you've been there. And, you know, I'm not – you were very active in the portal, but I didn't – there was no names. And maybe that's the key, brother. Maybe some no names is exactly what Kentucky needs, but – I don't know. They just didn't wow me in the offseason, and I feel like this was the particular season they needed to wow us a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I do know from people close to that program, Shane, they feel like the culture's better. They got rid of the guys that were not fully bought in, you know? So if they could get back to old Stoops ball, pounding, playing defense, that's where they want to be. I don't know that recruit, develop, I don't know if that strategy is can work anymore in the SEC. I really don't.
Yeah. But we're going to find out, Mike. We may not find out spring because they ain't going to let us watch it, but we'll definitely find out.
All right. How about this one, Shane? Ooh, man. I don't know. People were throwing fits up here in Gainesville. Yeah. This was late last week. We haven't had a show since then. But old Billy Napier revealed DJ Lagway be very limited this spring.
Yeah, so I think some lower body, some shoulder. I think our intentions here are to be very smart. I do think he'll be limited in throwing activities, but he'll participate in all practices otherwise. And we've done a lot of homework here relative to the things that he went through as a player. I mean, he was an absolute warrior and a great competitor that showed toughness. And we've consulted with quite a few experts here from a UFL, from a national perspective, as we do with a lot of our players, you know, in terms of second opinion. So I think in general, he'll be able to do quite a bit, but there will be some limitations.
How much do you expand the playbook with him going into the second?
So, again, not a ton of information there, Shane, but – you know, he says second opinion, nation experts, you know, and to everyone's knowledge, he's not had any surgery, but that, why are you seeking second opinions? Why are you going around the country to get the best specialists if he doesn't need it? I mean, again, it's very ambiguous, and we all know the value DJ Lagway has of that program. Mm-hmm. The backup's Harrison Bailey, who was, you know, he's been at about 6 different schools now. Again.
Yeah.
But any cause for concern? Again, DJ Lagway's been at practice. He's not like in a wheelchair. He's not in a corner or anything. He's on the field, but apparently he's not really going to be throwing this spring. Any concern there?
A little. The fact that we're talking about it in March, you know, I don't like words like second opinion. That doesn't sound convincing to me. It almost sounds like, you know, I mean, again, you got to think about player safety. And times are different now in 2025. You don't see him playing through injuries like they used to. If this is going to cost him millions of dollars in the long run, something that he can clean up, then I think that's kind of what the options are weighing. But, you know, DJ's making a lot of money down there. And I always wonder kind of what does that look like? What does that conversation look like? And I don't – I always try to read Billy Napier, which is probably the toughest read in the world. I didn't see too much, you know, worry. He didn't seem too worried in this, but he wasn't out here like, you know, what's his name up there in Oklahoma dancing around about his quarterback. So let me ask you this, Mike, and I'm not saying it happens, but if DJ does not suit up, what is their record? They're just what those wins, losses, and tosses change tremendously, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Quite a bit here. So I think Old Harrison, I think we can beat Long Island. Yeah. Give me a win. We're 1-0 already. I'll even give them South Florida. It's a home game. Come on. We can rally the troops, right?
Yeah.
State, I think they could beat.
Mm-hmm. Kentucky, maybe. Yeah, Kentucky.
Maybe, yeah. Give me a solid 4-8. I mean, that'll fire up the base. You know what?
Jeez Louise, Mike. Talk about the wheels falling off. That would be bad. Yeah, I don't like to talk about it. We shouldn't talk so negative, Mike. It's the spring. We should be positive. I think DJ's fine. This is just coach speak right here. They're just saving it for those Sharks week one, you know, just, is he going to be there?
You can't let them know anything. You know what I mean?
It's going to be two quarterbacks practicing all week type situation. So you're right. He is out there. He's not bed bound. So I feel like the Florida Gators will be fine. But if there was any concern, his ass would not be out there right now. I would have him on ice until we need him in August.
And I've seen online he's been doing I don't know what even you'd call it, but he's been having like fundraisers for charities and things of that nature. So I mean, he's even active doing that, and I'm sure everybody that's coming up to him is like, "How's his shoulder?" Or you know what I mean? Like yeah. I'm sure everyone is asking him. So I don't think if he was like devastatedly injured, I don't think he'd be even doing that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think he'd be keeping a low profile. But just interesting that, you know. Specialist, second opinion. It's a little concerning. And even if, you know, people like me are as high as you literally can be on DJ Lagway, I think there's a chance. Not saying it's a given, but I think there's a chance he's the best quarterback in ESCC this year. You got to remember, he's never even gone into a spring football where he's the starter. This is the first time. Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit of a big deal that he's not getting the reps with all, you know, because last year they had Mertz.
Yeah,
and he was there last year, but it was Mertz was the quarterback, and it was unquestioned, right?
Yeah.
Now it's Lagway that is unquestioned, and he's missing some potentially valuable reps in the spring. So this even from that angle is a little concerning for me.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that, you know, for Florida, because their schedule does, you know, of course I say that about every coach, does ramp up pretty quick. You know, this is a team that needs to hit the ground running, because those swing games, those toss games, if you will, early in the season, those have got to be wins if you plan on beating some of those tougher opponents in late October, first November. So, yeah, I feel like this isn't a program that needs to get – because that's what it felt like Florida did last year. It's a team that progressively got better.
And that's
youth getting better. But I feel like you lose a little bit of that steam if you don't have that continuity coming in week one.
Hey, shout out to Hog Fan Thor. Cousin Mike, Cousin Shane, today is my birthday. Happy birthday, Hog Fan Thor. Can you give me and other Hog fans some hope for this upcoming football season? So that's a little tough one, but, you know.
Well, right, basketball's doing good. You know, I just got to win tomorrow. So.
Yeah, but he has specifically football, Shane. All right. Alabama A&M, Arkansas State. Boom. Right there, you're 2-0, right?
Yes.
And then Ole Miss, that's a tricky-ass game. I mean, they scored a million points on you. That was State. But, I mean, again, that's been a tricky game in recent years. They did score a million points on you last year. I was right. So the season, I don't want to say the season comes down to September 13th, especially on the road, Shane, but Ole Miss again, I like Lane Kiffin. I think I like him more than most, right?
Yeah.
You're catching them at the perfect time.
Yes.
They're dead last in offensive returning production. not returning a quarterback, a starting quarterback, that is. They're dead last in defensive returning production. If, big if you can go on the road and you can stun Ole Miss, and I don't even think it would be a stunner, really. I just think it would be an upset. You beat Tennessee last year, so if you beat Tennessee, you sure as hell can beat Ole Miss next year,
yeah.
Even though it's on the road. Ole Miss, love you, Ole Miss fans, but this is, I wouldn't even put it in the top 10 in home field advantages in the SEC.
Right.
So, and again, no offense to these teams, but if I just had to guess, I don't think ABC's gobbling up Arkansas at Ole Miss for like the night game. So it's probably like an 11 a.m. kick. You know what I mean? So right there, that's as positive as I could be right now. I think you got a really good shot at surprising a lot of people and being 3-0. And then all of a sudden the narrative kind of changes if you can beat Ole Miss third week of the season. You know what?
I'm right there with you. Positive is I think you got one of the best, if not, I mean, honestly, could be the best quarterback in the country. Just depending if he cleans up some of those mistakes, which second year OC, second year in that system. I felt like Taylor Green at the end of the season last year made less and less of those mistakes. But he was sore. He's beat up. And he's an absolute freak athlete. He's a guy that can change the landscape of college football, especially with a team like Ole Miss. With, you said, all those transfers coming in, you know, you got to remember Ole Miss last year breaking all those guys in. They looked great for the first 4 weeks, but then they hit SEC play, and guess what? They lost, you know. So I feel like that is the narrative there is, hey, we got to come out. We've got to be one of those teams that just hit the ground running, and you're right. They could be 4-0 coming into that Tennessee matchup, and that's exactly best-case scenario for Arkansas. And after that, anything can happen. If you can beat Ole Miss, you can beat anybody.
Yeah, and I got a Sam Pittman clip here in just a second. But I want to get to Tennessee real quick, Shane.
Yeah.
Tennessee, into spring, they are currently practicing. Good news for the team. Ricky Gibson, who we've talked about, it sounds like he's going to get his money, Shane. He's practicing. he's with the team. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't think anyone at the press conference specifically asked him about that. But they did ask him, Shane, about playing a spring game, and thank the good Lord, Tennessee don't have a coward as a head coach like some of these other people. Tennessee's playing a damn spring game.
Yeah, it's not just the tradition of it. I do love the spring game, opportunity for our fans to be here inside of the stadium, but, you know, it's usually a great environment on campus that day. I think it's important, in particular for our young players, to get a taste of what it's going to be like in the fall, to play in front of a crowd, big stadium. You know, we open up on the road this year. You don't want that to be the first time that they've played in front of a bunch of people. And so that experience, I think it can create urgency, understanding what it's going to feel like as they, you know, finish up spring ball, go into summer. End of the day, we got to accelerate their growth curve, and a spring game in those settings is a part of, you know, accelerating their growth.
Russell Sprouts. Yep. What has our miss? Have you seen that? You're watching that SEC podcast. We're talking Brussels sprouts. We are off the damn rails here today, Mike.
Yeah, about to ban some of these accounts here talking but Russell Sprouts. But hey, I think that's important. You know, Heupel's always little coach speaky.
Yeah.
But they are ridiculously young, Shane. Offensive line, secondary, receiver, running back. You know, you could say quarterback, even though I don't think I'd say that given that Nico started the entire season. But there's youth abounds, Shane.
Yeah.
So, again, I like the fact that some of these coaches are being cowards and saying, hey, we don't want a spring game. We don't want our roster poached. Yada, yada. Well, then pay him. You know what I mean? Again. Thank God Josh Heupel's not like that. He wants to help the fans come to the game. He wants the players to get better. And I don't know. I just love this message from a guy that the expectations clearly been raised, Shane.
Yeah.
If they miss the playoff this year, Tennessee fans are they're going to be pissed. I mean, that's the standard now.
You can kind of feel it with some of these younger cats, you know, like has it been away? I mean, you got to remember it wasn't that long ago. He was throwing footballs and you can feel that in what Coach Heupel is saying here. Like, hey, we're here to play some damn football. And that's what I like, but Tennessee's also, you know, starting to build on expectations and that expectation, you know, the standards have changed where 10 wins is almost like where we belong, not the ceiling anymore. And I feel like, you know, all that success that you're going to have late in the fall next year needs to be made up right now. This is when you're doing it from here until August. This is the ground that you make. And the coaches know that. And you can kind of sense that with what Josh is saying here.
Yeah. You know who doesn't agree with you, Shane?
Who's that?
Where is he at? Oh, OU Revenge Tour. Shane needs some Brussels sprouts.
Oh, damn. Oh. You know, I had them once. Actually, I've had them twice. One was a roasted deal. Wasn't that bad. It was a little crunchy. You know, I could get behind that. But the best one, and probably the unhealthiest one, was like baked in a casserole dish with butter and everything. That was good with a steak. But
yeah,
it's just little cabbages is what they are. So I can eat them, but I'm not going to a restaurant and ordering them. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Hey,
yeah.
Real quick before you go, Mike, talking birthdays, I want to give a shout out to our man. You got something planned?
I did. Yeah, okay. We ain't done yet. So
yeah, go ahead.
But you said don't order the Brussels sprouts, which I agree with.
Yeah.
Well, what you need to order, Shane, if you're in need of a wallet, come on, Ridge Wallet. They sent us one over here. Shane got one as well. Head on over ridge.com/SEC. Same promo code as the Cornbread Hemp, but they're giving 40% off, Shane, over 40%. At ridge.com. And they also sent us, they just keep sending us stuff, Shane. I love the keychain as well. The wallet's fantastic, but they have a once a year anniversary sale over at ridge.com. That's why it's 40% off for all the listeners with that promo code SEC. So if you're in need of a new wallet, this is an outstanding product. It's metal. It's very thick and not thick, but it's sturdy. That's the word I was using. Yeah. Get rid of your thick ass leather, old school wallets. That's what your papaw use. You know what I mean? This is 2025. Get you a Ridge wallet. Check out ridge.com. Most importantly, don't forget that promo code SEC for 40% off your entire order.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm more thick than sturdy, you know. But hey, we got ours in, and I will tell you what, this, you're not thinking about it now. Christmas is right around the corner. It feels like order it now, get to 40%, put that thing up like Christmas vacation, you know, just put it up there in the attic somewhere, because when Christmas comes out, you're going to find somebody that this gift is absolutely perfect for. It is going to last them forever. So really cool product. Glad they're a sponsor of the show.
Hey, a retired working man says, how about pan fried cornbread hemp?
Now we're in the weeds. All right.
All right. So for Hog Thor fan, we, like I said, we got some Sam Pittman here. So how about this, Shane? I thought this was pretty interesting. They have a really solid left tackle, Francisco Carmona. They're shifting him inside, though. Yeah. Perhaps they haven't figured out center or guard, but they went to him, and apparently they believe his future, if he's going to play in the NFL, is going to be on the inside. So he's going to shift, again, to center or guard. They haven't figured it out yet, and they landed some guys via the transfer portal that they think are better tackles. So I just think the selflessness of that. I mean, if Sam Pittman's selling an offensive lineman, I think your future's here, you know, long-term. I've sent so many offensive linemen to the NFL. And the fact that a captain, a guy that starred for you last year at left tackle, a lot of these players, and I don't blame them, you know, because of the Blind Side movie and things of that nature, but they all want to play left tackle, whether they can play it or not. I think it says something about Arkansas and Sam Pittman and Francisco that they're putting ego aside and moving a left tackle inside. What's your thoughts on that?
Blindside. I don't think these kids watch Blindside, Mike.
I think you're wrong, Shane, because those are the guys that get paid. That's the whole thing.
I get it.
You know, I'm the franchise.
They didn't watch the Disney classic with Sandra Bullock. I'm telling you that because thing came out in the 90s. These kids weren't even alive. But you are right, because when you look at paid players in the NFL, the ones that they're idolizing, the ones that they're mimicking their game off of, that's the ones that are getting paid. And that's the coveted position. But, you know, you get a good guard spot, you get a good center, especially if you're utility and you can bounce around. Hell, even long snap, make yourself let yourself be as valuable as possible. And I feel like that's the ultimate move, because you could stay in the league a long time if you could show that versatility.
Shane, Blindside came out in 2009, not 90s. What are we talking about? These guys were alive in 2009.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it really? So I'm terrible with math. What is that, 16? So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they were watching it 3 years old, 2 years old. So
I'm telling you, they should have if they weren't.
The kids should have went to Tennessee, by the way.
And still, you still ain't living that one down, right?
Some of the best cameos ever was in Blindside. Was it? I mean, there was
Homer's in it. Coach O's in it.
Hugh Freeze was in it, wasn't he?
Well, he was the coach.
Yeah,
but I don't think. He actually was in it.
Yeah,
Nick Saban, of course. So
Coach O's my favorite one, though. If you clip that one, that's probably the best one.
The last one, Sam Pittman, a little bit long, but I thought this was great. You know, Sam Pittman, when he's on. I think he's the best quote right now in the SEC. You can't play football, Shane, if you don't play football. Come on now.
And then are there any changes you're doing this spring compared to springs in the past, just from an approach standpoint to it?
You know, I don't think so. We've gone, just because somebody else does it doesn't mean that's what you should do, unless that's what you want to do, right? But you got to look at everything. And I just don't know how you play football if you don't play football. And I don't know how you get the fans excited about your football team if they can't see it, you know? And so a lot of times that would be spring game wise, you know, to go do what the NFL's doing in the Pro Bowl or whatever. I don't know that's going to excite anybody. Now, I know last year we had a spring game and everybody, you know, was disappointed because we went ones versus twos. We had gone one-on-ones then 14 practices, you know, we just didn't there. But I think part of that is you want your one offense to be successful. You want your one defense to be successful, you know, part of that. But no, we haven't changed a lot of things. I'm an offensive line coach, so I believe that you have to do physical things in the spring. I don't know how, if you're starting running back or a second team, running back, and you don't get an opportunity to break tackles, I don't know how you beat the guy ahead of you out. I don't know if you're a linebacker and you're a two and you're I'm better than this guy, I'm better than this guy. You have no chance to play full speed tackle football, how you beat the guy out. And competition becomes bigger when you're playing the game. Now, we're never going to tackle the quarterback, so I just talked out of both sides of my mouth there. But I do think that you can get better if your mind takes out of, I'm worried about injuries. You know what I mean? We go out here on a Saturday, and never one time does my mind go, what happens if so-and-so gets hurt? Or, I hope so-and-so doesn't get hurt. Every scrimmage, every time we tackle in the spring, that's all I think about. And so I can't allow that. And let's look at this, too. This is a long answer. Anybody else got any questions? I hope not. I'm about we went to a scrimmage. I'm petrified. Okay, it's a spring. So I'm petrified. Oh, this guy can't get, my mind's working. Do you know you can scrimmage, but you're not going to tackle the quarterback, okay? But you can scrimmage, and you look at it. I can't remember. I think it was our first scrimmage last year, and we were eight plays in, and we'd tackled two times because you had an incompletion. You had a guy run out of bounds. You had, you know what I mean? And I'm going, what am I worried about? Two tackles in eight plays. You know what I mean? So the physicality of the offensive and defensive line, people will say they don't do anything different. Yeah, they do. You play different if you know somebody's going to get tackled. And so to answer the question, no, we're probably not going to change a whole lot. We're going to continue to be physical, and we're going to have a spring game.
Yeah, that's what I like to see, Shane. He also said, during the interview, the fans want it. I want to give it to the fans. The state deserves to see it. So, again, Sam, he's one of the best. He just showed it right there, I think.
Yeah, I think so. How do you know if a kid's game ready if he's not practicing? It's one thing to see how fast you can run, to do these little obstacles. That's basically what it is, an obstacle course out there. Yeah, you could do that, but when it comes crunch time, when the whistle's blown and everything's 100 miles an hour, are you picking up your assignments? Are you doing, because what happens is when you get practice in this way, when the whistle does blow, you're going to see these teams move a little slower at the start of the season because they've got to catch up to game speed. And I'm no scientist, but you know, that's just life. You know what I'm saying? If somebody's teaching me a job at McDonald's, how to deep fry fries, and we're going through it real slow, but then all of a sudden we hit lunch and I got to get these freaking things out. You know, it's all fun and games until the lights come on, if you will. So I love this approach. I think that you still have to have this in college football. I hate that because you got to remember, Mike, this time last year, we were having a conversation, real conversations, about instead of spring games, why don't we have a spring practice against another football team so we could actually learn something? You know, it's Lane Kiffin up there, talking about we need to go against it. And now we're on the opposite end. It was like, we don't even need to touch the kids. We need to just not have spring. It's like, what are we doing? Come on, man. This is college football. This is physical football. You know, it's not meant for everyone. If you can't do it, get out of here.
Yeah. No, I think eventually we may get back to that because hopefully, and I certainly think we're going this way, but I don't think we're going to be doing Florida versus Long Island. You know,
yeah.
I don't think we're going to see Auburn Mercer or yeah. Is it, you know, it's all these teams. I'm not calling out those teams because they all damn do it. I think those games are going away. And instead of that, I think eventually they'll move those to the spring.
Yeah.
So that those schools can get a little paycheck and we can still have a spring game. But they're gonna have to eliminate the spring portal before we get there. You know what?
Yeah, it's clearly not a perfect system right now, but I feel like this overcorrecting, we do this in the real world. I feel like we just kind of overcorrect, and that's where we're at in some of these issues. But I do think that it will normalize at some point for sure.
Yeah. Well, hey, buddy, that's all the football content we got. So before we hopped off, we want to give a special message, Shane, to Daniel Reed. His dad reached out to us, said it's his 9th birthday. He's a big fan of the show. So everybody wish Daniel a happy birthday, including you, Shane.
Happy birthday, cuz.
Yeah. So anything else, brother, before we jump off the line?
No, man. Again, keep your notifications on because you never know when we're going to go live in Nashville. I mean, we may be 3 chicken meals in and I say, you know what? Grab me a beer and let's do this thing. So I look forward to seeing everybody over in Nashville. We got a lot of awesome content heading your way. You know, we're just trying to keep that spring as active and keep you as pumped up about college football as we are. And appreciate everybody's time and spreading the word and helping this show grow.
Hey, this guy's, he's changed his name again, Shane. So shout out Oliver Klozoff. I don't think that's your real name, but stop talking about food, guys, or we're going to lose cousin Shane.
Yeah. You saw how we went from Brussels sprouts to McDonald's French fries. That's my problem.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, I appreciate you as always. Looking forward to hanging out with you. And we appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll see you. Not sure when, but very, very soon.
We'll see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.